From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 8th day of September 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Stephen Platt at Archer Financial Services out of Crystal Lake, Illinois, will join us to discuss the agricultural energies. And as we close out our time today, we'll talk with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. A 52-degree swing in the temperature high there for the day, from 89 to 27, and snow. We'll hear all about that right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here are the numbers in Chicago for the day. September corn finished 3 3/4 higher at 351. December 361 3/4, up 3 3/4. And March at 372, 3.5 higher. July of next year, 382 3/4. Up 3.5 cents for the day. Soybeans finished the September at 973, up 3.5. November 5 higher at 973 as well. And January 978 1/4, 4 3/4 cents higher. March contract there at 977, up 3 1/4 cents. And the May futures up 2 3/4 at 978 1/4. July 980 3/4. And the soybeans 2 3/4 cents higher. Soybean oil up 49 cents. The bean meal down $2.60. On the afternoon. July wheat futures soft red 557, 4.5 lower. The hard red July down 2. They finished at 494.5. Live cattle futures for 100 pounds October at $105.77.5, up $1.32.5. September's up $1.30 for the day at $138.95, and lean hogs at $59.90, 7.5 cents higher on the afternoon. Energies finished the crude oil at $36.57 a barrel, down $3.20. Ethanol futures unchanged at $1.30.6. And heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.06.9. That's 8.1 cents higher. Gasoline on the RBOB, the wholesale price at $1.095, 8.1 cents lower. Natural gas at $0.01 higher at $2.40.8. The Dow for the day down about 390 points at 27,680. Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, now joins us to talk about an up day in Chicago. It's not Monday, but it is the first trading day of the week, and that means you get the update this week. You got one last week, actually, too, Wayne. That's been a pretty good run.
Yeah, but it's sort of fun 2 weeks in a row.
Yes, it is. And how many days have soybeans been higher now?
I think it's like 11 days or something, and it's just really coming in with quite a move here. The Chinese, and along with the weather, have really helped this bean market, that's for sure.
Yeah, so we're off, I think we're up, what, about $1.10 or something from the bottom. So
yeah, it's over a dollar, and it's I think we made 8-month highs in the nighttime trade here. So quite a deal, and there was a lot of articles being written today. It was easy to decide back when we were on our lows to not hedge or to pull hedges or do whatever. But up at these levels, it's getting more difficult. And along with the government report coming out on Friday and people going to the field, I talked to a couple guys at lunch today when I went to pick the restaurant, pick up lunch, and they were headed to the field to see how their beans were doing. So that's going to be a big question mark.
Yeah.
And of course, the government's going to be going to the, they went to the field to look at some stuff in Iowa.
Yeah, so they've already been to the field. Objective yields are coming in for this Friday report at 11 o'clock. Don't forget to visit willag.org. We'll have all the numbers there. I was thinking about that report just a little bit this morning, and so it will give us, and in combination with the rainfall that we had in the northern part of the state this week, it will give us what soybeans were like and under normal conditions what they will yield at the end, at harvest. So I would think that northern Illinois should be, that number should be pretty close, I would guess. And I would think it would be pretty good size soybean number, but then again, you've got all of Iowa to think about, too.
Iowa's going to be it's the wild card out there right now, Todd, because, number one, it's hard to assess beans, period, but it's really hard to assess damaged beans or beans that are down or beans. And I tell you what, You can look at a pot and it can have beans in it, and if the moisture wasn't there to fill and it's quit or whatever, DB-sized beans, you can count them, but they don't add up very fast to weight that way. So that's one of the things they're looking at out there. But, you know, we did see some fresh demand this morning, bean and corn sales both announced. Then they got them with the weekly inspections. It was above the figures that they were looking at as far as what got shipped out last week. Boy, what a crazy weather situation. I was talking to one of our customers. His son lives in Denver. Yesterday was 93 degrees, and the high was going to be 38 today. And it was sleeting this morning at 7 o'clock. And believe it or not, from the forest fires, they had ash falling on their house yesterday.
Wow. Just amazing. Corn has been a follower of soybeans, but a little on the reluctant side, it appears to me. What do you think of that marketplace?
Well, I think that basically we've seen there's a lot of good corn in Indiana. There's a lot of good corn in a lot of places. And we've seen some good purchases by China. We did get a little disillusioned last week. They've been selling 100% of their corn. They've been selling their auctions out of their reserves. And last week they only sold 33%. On that, but basically a lot of question marks to be answered on that. I will tell you that the tight basis levels or the plus basis levels that were around here just a week ago or even as just during last week, last Thursday and Friday, are going away over here in Indiana as our crop is turning fast and they're seeing that we're going to see harvest start in full force probably by end of the week and some of the beans out here.
Do you think that yield for corn will be okay?
I think that we're going to see some of the best corn we've ever had in Montgomery County, Indiana. But I think there's going to be areas that's going to be a lot different. I think as you get it in northern Illinois, I think as you go west into Iowa and like that, I think there's going to be a cutback in what they were figuring just 3 weeks ago probably on this corn because of that flash drought and as dry as things got. I think we're seeing stuff mature faster over here, and we'll probably see a little bit of test weight loss ourselves here.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it. We'll talk with you again next Tuesday.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Let's check in on the agricultural energies now. Stephen Platt is here. He's with Archer Financial Services out of Chicago, Illinois. Hey, Stephen, thanks for being with us. It's been a bit since we've talked to you. Can you tell me about the summer as it relates to agricultural energies and energy in general, and then kind of look forward into this fall for me too, please?
Well, we certainly have seen a rather steady market up until just a few days ago in terms of the crude market, distillate, and also the gasoline. Pressure on values has developed here since the beginning of September, with the market pretty much falling from over $43 in the December contract to as low as $37.12 today. That pressure coming off of Saudi's announcement of price cuts for October deliveries of their official selling prices, along with some talk that Russia is still intent upon trying to carve out market share as some of the demand starts to recover from the pandemic. I think at this juncture, we can certainly think the market top for now has certainly been placed over that 43 area. And now the market is certainly focused on the change in sentiment that we've seen. Instead of focusing on the recovery that the market has been doing during the summer when gasoline demand is the strongest, they are starting to focus on the diesel supply situation, which has been somewhat burdensome. In terms of distillate stocks, we're up over 33% in the U.S., Demand, though, has not really fallen a lot. It's been more affected by the shifting of production of jet kero into distillate supplies. China also looks to be a key factor here. Their recovery has been quite impressive, and stimulus measures that they have employed have helped boost consumption of even diesel in that country. Imports have also jumped rather sharply over the past few months as some of the bargains that they picked up when crude prices were quite low during the springtime came into their country for refining. However, that is starting to stall, and some talk has started to surface that a second wave could cut demand, not necessarily for China, but for the world recovery in demand that we've seen. You've seen some jump in virus cases in the U.S. and Europe, and Asian demand has not been all that impressive as well. We could see demand fall as much as 3.5 million barrels. If you do get a second wave, that could create a supply surplus of over 1.5 million barrels as we move through the fourth quarter. I think in terms of Chinese demand, that's also starting to be questioned. They have built up their inventories considerably, and also the refining margins for diesel has weakened, and that will tend to discourage exports from China into other Asian markets because of those low refining margins. So that might not be a sustainable recovery in terms of Chinese demand here. U.S. and Eurozone, as I said, is also somewhat questionable as we move into the fall. Emerging markets such as Brazil and India still remain weak as lockdowns remain in place. So there are a lot of questions still to be answered. And with this election coming up, you're starting to have people maybe look at the status of Iranian sanctions as we move past the elections and the potential for a democratic victory could certainly weigh on values as we move out. So there's a lot of uncertainty here. I think the market itself, in terms of the crude, probably has some support down toward this 35 area, and it could start to become range bound once again as we assess the demand prospects going through the fourth quarter.
So when I look back on the charts, I see that the October filled a gap, but then it turned and went lower. You told me that the $43, or roughly $43 top, of recent probably would hold for some time. What kind of downside potential are you looking at, or at least a range of trade? Are we in that $30 range, or are we more like 24 on the bottom side?
Well, I think on the downside, this $30 area, possibly even a little bit higher, could be it for the market for the time being until we get some tracking on how the demand prospects develop going into late 21. What you've seen is the market start to price in the possibility that stocks will start to rise as we move into the fourth quarter and into the first quarter. Provided the OPEC members continue to maintain discipline, which they have done in terms of their production, and keep prices below an area that maybe the recovery in U.S. shale prospects does not take place, like it looked like it could have started if prices remained over 40. So that's going to be a limiting influence, I think, on the market to the downside. But for now, you have certainly some major mobility factors which have to be considered in terms of commuting and even air transport and things like that, which still are big weights on the market that so far have been addressed by some of the cuts we've seen out of OPEC.
So it's kind of dual-edged, roughly speaking, not as much demand or consumption. And then you have Russia in trying to carve out a niche and everybody else working against U.S. shale to keep them at bay as well. So they're right.
Right. And you have seen some of these countries that are part of OPEC start to suffer in terms of their budget deficits. One country would be Kuwait, which is suffering some rather sharp deficits due to the collapse in oil prices that certainly poses the question on who's going to maybe cheat first in terms of OPEC, which has always been a problem in the past.
Hey, thank you so much, and I appreciate it. We'll try to figure out who did the cheating the next time we talk, okay?
We'll try. Thank you, and have a great day.
You too. That's Stephen Platt. He's with Archer Financial Services out of Crystal Lake, Illinois. He joined us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Tuesday afternoon. You can find us, listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org, willag.org, or look us up in your favorite podcast application. Just search for the Closing Market Report. On this Tuesday, we're now joined by Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don, glad to have you back. I watched on YouTube the David Blaine video of him jumping eventually after riding up to, 24,000, almost 25,000 feet solo underneath a whole bunch of balloons. And you were there the whole time, Don. It was great to watch you in action, making sure that he made it up. I do have a couple of questions about it, because during the video, and those who have watched some of the video will probably have the same questions, it was clear that wind direction was different at different places as he moved upwards in through the horizon. I take it you knew that was happening and that he would get back to where he should be eventually.
Absolutely. One thing in a balloon that you don't get when you fly an airplane or a helicopter is you just go which way ever the wind goes. And so you have to be very, very precise with the wind direction forecast. And on that particular day, the winds were so calm. They were so light and variable, we call it, that he did what I call a corkscrew. He'd go a little this way, go a little that way. But the idea was to get him to an altitude to where we knew the winds were going to be consistent and take him along a flight path where we knew it was going to be safe for him to jump and also to stay out of air traffic. And so we had to be really patient. And a lot of people are going, hey, he's going the wrong direction. It's like, you just kind of like wait for it. It's got to get a little higher. And once he did, we were able to go right where we wanted to.
Well, I was on the chair's edge, but I knew you were at the helm, and I was sure that, Don, you had it pegged here, and you were saying, no, just wait. He's coming back. Don't worry. He's not going to get too far off. He's going to come back. So I was really pleased to hear that and watch that. It was fantastic and so much fun to watch. Do you get nervous through the process?
Yeah, these are not for the faint-hearted, that's for sure, because so much of the success of projects like this depends on the weather. And when you go live and you have a lot of people watching and you want to make sure the weather's there, you're certainly, it's stressful for sure. However, one good thing is I have the ability, and this was a situation to where I was able to pick the day that was going to be the best to give us the greatest amount of success as compared to saying, you got to make it work on this day. And that would make my job very difficult. But when I get to pick the day, then it's all on me, whether or not it's going to go good or bad.
Yeah, so for instance, if you were to pick a day, today's probably not a good day. Not for jumping, but for ag in general, because where you are, gosh dang, yesterday, what temperature was it in Cheyenne yesterday?
86 degrees, and it's now 27. And, you know, the great example is Scotts Bluff, Nebraska. Scotts Bluff, Nebraska on Saturday was 105, all-time record for September. And right now there are 33 degrees. So talk about a wild swing. And, boy, that the growing season is going to be over a large part of the Northern Rockies, Central Rockies, and Northern and Central Plain states.
Wow. And you're getting snow, too.
Snow as well. The good news is the snow is falling heavily in some of the areas that were really suffering bad in the fires. And also some of the areas that were really, really dry out west got some really good moisture and will be getting more before this storm is done. So it's a good news and bad news situation. Really needed the moisture, really needed the weather pattern change, although folks not really liking how severe of a change it is.
Yeah, so it feels really cold when you go from 89 or 100 or whatever it happened to be down to 30 or 27. And that happened in a large part of the northwestern Corn Belt. I saw more than my fair share of tweets from that part of the world. Will they get warmer as the week goes? I would think so.
Well, this cold air is going to spread east, and it's going to be a slow process. Now, it is going to moderate as it heads east. So I think the season-ending freezing conditions are going to stay generally further out west, but it is going to be relative to normal, colder than average for the northern plains, the northern and central and western areas of the Corn Belt, right up into the start of the weekend. But we do see the cold air sort of washing out, a more westerly wind flow developing, and by the weekend and in the next week, temperatures are going to moderate closer to average. What we see, Todd, is a typical September pattern here on out for the rest of the month. There's going to be ups. There's going to be downs, but the frequency of these cold fronts will be about a week apart. So there's going to be more of these frontal systems coming through. So we are definitely seeing fall. We're seeing an early fall pattern getting set up.
Does that mean you believe or can predict that there might be early ends to the growing season across the Corn Belt states?
I think there's a high probability of that this year. What'll tend to happen is you'll see patterns repeat themselves. You know, this front that is moving into the western part of the United States right now was actually preceded by a front that wasn't as strong but took a very similar path. And what we see with the jet stream pattern, how it wants to behave, that we're probably going to see another frontal system about a week or so after this one, a week or so after that one, and they progressively could get stronger by the end of the month. So that is something that we need to watch carefully.
Hey, thanks so much. And again, congratulations on the David Blaine jump last week. That was really cool.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Tuesday afternoon. Look us up. Listen to us on demand. Where? At willag.org. That's WILLAG.org.